Praise the Lord. A word came October 23rd here at the church, a prophecy, and it was really the Lord putting us in remembrance of a much earlier prophecy that came through Pastor Dave, and I brought it with me also today. And we're going to talk about speaking against the strongholds of lack and declaring an abundance. And I know the Lord gave me this assignment. Let me, for those that don't know me very well, let me just clarify. Most of you know this. But when I speak about this, because he specifically talks about giving finances into Dave Roberson Ministries here. So I need the people, most people here know this. I am not on salary here. Sue and I receive no funds from the prayer center whatsoever. This is my church, like it's your church. Now, over the course of all these years, there's been a few times, probably one hand, maybe two, but been a few times where they take up an offering for us. But if y'all think we were able to live for these 24 years, no, our believing comes through other ways. Now, when I talk here, there is no, when you give to Dave Roberson Ministries, what I'm saying, Sue and I do too. This is our church, like it's your church. And we do have staff here and other people that do receive salary. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But we know them too. None of them are exactly driving the Rolls Royces in the parking lot. And it's obvious to anyone that the Dave Roberson Ministries has not poured the money into chandeliers and fancy paintings, okay? The money that comes here is used for what it's intended for. But when I talk about this, people need to know that there's no incentive personally for me if money comes into Dave Roberson Ministries, okay? Now, I will say this too. At age 69, thank the Lord God Almighty, Sue and I now are drawing our Social Security. Just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That has been a great help, and we've had that for a few years. But most of you also know that most of our walk here has been strictly by faith. We had no income, nothing like that, no disability income. I'm not against any of those things. I'm just telling you the truth. We have learned a few things along the way about God helping, you know, God being our provider. Let's say it that way. Okay? End of disclaimers. So now, this is the word. I'm going to read this, but I am going to, we only have an hour. I got a lot of ground to cover in 1 hour. I'm going to mention some things as we go. Okay, this word came, and it's a reminder of a previous word, October 23rd. Quote, did I not say to speak against the strongholds of lack? Everyone say after me, speak.
Speak.
He did not say think. Now, say it after me. He did not say think.
He did not say think.
He said speak. That means I have to use my mouth.
That means I have to use my mouth.
To think it will not work.
To think it will not work.
Okay. I'm going to repeat that first sentence. Did I not say to speak against the strongholds of lack? I want you to speak against the strongholds of lack in your own personal life and for my church here. Here, he's talking about the prayer center. Okay. This body. Now, for poverty is not my will. Say it with me. Poverty is not his will.
Poverty is not his will.
Okay. Again, he says, you'd be surprised. I should have counted how many times he uses the word speak in this one prophecy. But he says again, speak against the strongholds of lack. For I want you to see my abundance. Now, why? He says why. He doesn't always, but he did this time. So that, I want you to see my abundance, so that you might be a blessing to others. I have to follow the sequence that he gives me. One of the verses we may look at today, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, are two of the most powerful in all the Word of God about his truth concerning finances. And in there, Paul quotes from the manna. God's first instruction to Israel was the manna. And the verse, I happen to have it here, 2 Corinthians, you don't need to turn there, we don't have time. 2 Corinthians 8:15. And I have to back up for context. And the Lord is, in Paul in this chapter is talking about taking up an offering for the saints at Jerusalem because they were going through persecution and a famine at the time. So this is all in mind with an offering, not really for Paul, but an offering that was being gathered to help people who needed help. Okay? That they might be a blessing to others. Got that? He says, verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, their lack, that their abundance also may be a supply for your lack." In other words, there might be a time in the future where you're going through it. Right now, you've got abundance to share with them. There may come another time when they'll have abundance to share with you. That there may be equality. And then he quotes from the manna. He quotes from Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. And he says, "As it is written." Where is it written? Exodus 16, 18. "He that had gathered much had nothing over. And he that had gathered little had no lack." Now let's think about that. Let's meditate. Y'all know the story of the manna. I taught forever and 3 days on the manna. People have actually told me, said, I was actually praying that God would stop you from teaching on the manna. I was so tired of hearing about the manna. But there's so much to learn from it. Now, you know how the manna, now, question number one, what was God teaching them? You know how the manna came. Every morning you go out and there it is. But it's only there in the cool of the morning. You can't lay in bed till noon. If you low, you know, because it would evaporate when the heat of the sun would come, it'd evaporate. He's teaching against laziness. Whoever invented the snooze alarm did mankind no service. I hate snooze alarms. I hate them with a passion. I never hit this. Alan talked about he's an expert. I'm an expert the other way. I mean, it's a... I go a whole year, maybe hit it once, twice. My dad got me over the snooze alarm real quick. When I was a teenager, I decided I was going to sleep in. And the next thing I know, my next moment of consciousness, my body is flying through the air as the bed is being turned over on top of me. My dad's a big guy. He just, as a twin bed, he just come in, turned it over with me in it. I got the message. No snooze alarm. Get up. Okay, see, I can't. Everything in me wants to teach all these things that I've been living for 20 some odd years, and we don't have time for that. I've got to stay real narrowly focused. Now, here's the point, though. Y'all know how the manna worked. You couldn't keep it overnight, right? So let's say that, you know, and some people didn't believe it. They went out and they gathered a bunch and they tried to keep it overnight. What happened? It stank and had worms. So, you know, after like 2 or 3 days, even my lightning quick mind would have understood. If I gather much, it's not for me. Can you get that revelation? God is calling this people, you and you that are listening and watching around the world. He is calling you to gather much. And he wants you to have plenty. But that's not really the calling in this hour. We're coming into revival. The guy who gathered much during the manna, after 2 or 3 days, figured it out. Well, I'm able to gather much. But that much is not for me. That much is to help people that don't have enough. See, the world does not have enough Dave Roberson. I'm telling you right now, the world does not have this message. That's really, he's going to talk about media here. He's talking about this abundance in order to fulfill the promises that he has spoken about this revival being part of it, being media. To get these teachings around the world. We have much. But we don't have much in finances in order to send it around the world where it needs to go. Now, he is calling you to gather much. You'll have enough, but the much is... Don't be building bigger barns. This is not the season for bigger barns. And I'm prophesying to somebody, more than one, you're sitting on bigger barns. You need to talk to God about that. You're sitting on that, been sitting on it for a long time. You've gathered much. You better read about that guy in Luke 12. Better read about him. Anyway, God wasn't against that guy being a good farmer. I mean, that guy was good at what he did. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gathered so much. It's okay to be good and expert at what you do. It's okay to even build bigger barns, but who are they for? You can read that. The personal pronouns. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger barns, wherefore I may bestow my goods. Guy had no steward mentality at all. It's all about him. That very day that your life is required of you. Now who's going to get all this stuff? Better be putting it in the kingdom. I'm telling you, this is not the day for building bigger barns for yourself. And if you've been sitting on bigger barns, better talk to God about that. Okay? I'm going to need 4 hours for this message. I can do that. But you see the principle. He that gathered much. Wouldn't you get it after 2 or 3 days? But what if you said, I'm still going to gather much. Boy, what a heart God would find there. Why are you gathering much? Why are you out here gathering all this? You know you're only going to get to eat this little bit. Why are you still gathering? Well, there's people that don't have enough. And I'm able to gather. So I'm going to gather. And I'll eat my portion and the rest is for other people. That's the principle. Not bigger barns for you. God was all about the guy having a good crop. He's not against success in that sense. But the end of the parable, you better be rich toward God. Better be rich toward God. Okay. Back to this. I'm going to read the last sentence. So for context, the last one that I read. Speak against the strongholds of lack, for I want you to see my abundance so that you might be a blessing to others. As I have instructed you to do this. Now, that's the previous prophecy that I'm going to read in a minute. Okay, this one came a long time ago through Dave. And this has been done for some time. Now, what he means by that? How many have come to Calling in the Lost? Every Sunday night, at least once a week for years, we speak against the strongholds of lack and we call in an abundance. Amen? Amen. But many have walked away from my instruction. Speak against the strongholds of lack. Now get this. Because it cannot stay in my body. God sees lack like a cancer. God says lack cannot stay in his body. Hello, body. Amen. Do you hear what he's saying? It cannot stay. And I want you to eradicate it. Say that with me. God wants me. Little old me. Me, Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public. Me. To eradicate poverty. And then he gives us an instruction. You speak my word. You speak my word. It is good to talk to the mountain. That's what you're doing when we say, I speak against the strongholds of lack. I go in Jesus' name. That's good. That's speaking directly to the mountain. But see, Jesus didn't just do that. When the devil came in the wilderness to stop Jesus, what did he fill his mouth with? It is written, it is written, it is written. So you speak against the strongholds of lack, that's fine. Talk to the mountain and it will obey you. But you also speak God's word. Fill your mouth. He says that here and again in a minute. Spill. Fill your mouth. Speak and fill is spill. Anyway. Speak against the strongholds of lack because it cannot stay in my body. And I want you to eradicate it. You speak my word. You speak my truth. That which I have said shall come to pass. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. His word, we're going to look, Paul quotes it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in a minute. going all the way back to Isaiah chapter 55, where he says, "My word is like the rain that comes down. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it." But there's a big caveat there. If you believe. You're the mechanism of belief. You're the mechanism. By believing, you become that mechanism that converts God's word to reality in this world. Boy, that was well said. I like that sentence. Woo. You are the believing mechanism. It's through your belief that God's word is released into this world to manifest His purpose. Laying on the coffee table won't do it. Having head knowledge of it won't do it. Believing it is what causes it to come to pass. That which I have said will come to pass. That which I have promised. That which I have spoken. Now here it is. Boy, I wish I would have known this. He says, fill your mind. Did you hear that? This is godly hope. Now this is what I did not know in the early days when I was walking the floor and confessing the word for 4 hours a day. I was doing it by brute strength. Just confess the word, confess the word, confess the word. I did not know anything about godly hope in those days. And it still got her done. Fair enough. But it took months and months, 4 hours a day, months and months. It was like a sledgehammer. I didn't know. Later on, he taught me if I would learn to incorporate godly hope, would greatly reduce the amount of time to manifestation. I didn't know that in the early days. See, that's the other half of what God taught Abraham. He didn't just change his name so that he would say, "I am the father of a multitude." He gave him something for his mind. He took him out and showed him the stars. Fill your mind with this vision. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope has everything to do with what you see on the inside. I want you to begin to see yourself writing big old fat checks to Dave Roberson Ministries. That's what he says here. Or just giving cash or however he has you do it. Start filling your mind, your mouth, and your being, he says, with what I have said. And speak against the strongholds of lack, for this place will see abundance. Amen. Let's say, let's agree with him. I say according to his word, this place will see abundance. Hallelujah. Then he says, this place will flourish with my prosperity. For my prosperity is not an evil word. It is a good thing. And though many have perverted it and changed it into something that it was not, I want this body, to walk in my prosperity and in my abundance. See, and he's right. Because there's been such flagrant error. You know, where our pastor is sitting right back there. I'm telling you, I'll never forget the day he said this. Because, see, for years I was programmed in the 80s by the TV preachers, and they programmed me that my giving was all about me. It was about my hundredfold return. It was about my prosperity. You know, man, and they'd turn every scripture on its head. A man reaps what he sows, and if you want an abundance, you've got to sow in abundance. And it was all, when I gave, it was all about me, all about me. And Dave says, for the mature Christian, when he gives, the last person on his mind should be himself.
Amen.
It took a lot of preaching, a lot of TV preachers. Because Sue and I didn't start off that way. When we started off, Michael Muccio, he didn't teach us that, boy, stuff. You don't know how nice the Lord was to you right there. Thank you, Jesus, and me. He didn't teach us that stuff. And, I mean, our heart was about giving. It was about everybody else. I can't tell you the number of times in the early days, the first year or two, that we emptied everything we have, our checkbook, even though we had a business, emptied that one too, because somebody had a need. And that's God. But then I started watching the TV preachers, and I could give you a list of them, and I might someday if they don't quit. It says mark them. Anyway. You speak, Lord, not Gary, please. It took them a long time to turn my mind, to turn my focus from you to me. But boy, they did it. They did it. I thank God there's no teachings, no recordings of my teaching in the late 80s, because I became a parrot of what they taught me. And it's all false doctrine, every stinking bit of it. Okay? And they have giant ministries still today. Some of them have gone on to their reward. But most of them are still alive today. He that gathered much sure did not gather it for himself. God is your provider. I love how Jesus phrases it. Father, give us day by day our daily bread. If you really know him, you don't need big barns. Okay. But see, the point was, even in my mouth, when I hear the word God's prosperity, there's almost really a bad taste in my mouth because I swallowed that false prosperity, hook, line, and sinker. But God is reminding us he has a prosperity that is not false. His prosperity is not a dirty word. He does like it when all your needs are met. He does like it when you have an abundance to share with others. Okay? So we've got to reprogram our mindset, our minds, with the truth of his word. Okay, so last paragraph of this one. He says, so speak against the strongholds of lack in your own life. Okay, in your own life. Yes, sir. Let's do it. Say after me. I speak. Against the strongholds of lack.
Against the strongholds of lack.
In my own life.
In my own life.
Lack.
Lack.
I'm kicking you out.
You've been living in the spare room of my
house
for too long.
You're a squatter.
You're a squatter.
You're not the truth.
Get.
Go from me.
I speak against the strongholds of lack.
In my own life.
And for the prayer center.
Lack. Get out of the prayer center. We're kicking your self out. Go, I said. Get out. Abundance. Be. In the name of Jesus. I say, I am a person of abundance.
I serve a God of abundance.
I serve the God of too much.
My prayer is, God,
what do you want me to do
with all this extra money?
There's too much, God.
What do you want me to do with it all?
I'm your steward.
I need your wisdom.
You're the God of too much.
What do you want me to do with all this?
Help me, Lord.
It's too much.
We'll read that paragraph again. So speak against the strongholds of lack in your own life and for this body. For you will see my abundance. And I circle this. If. Everyone say if.
If.
It's conditional.
It's conditional.
Yeah, so I wanted you to say it. Say if.
If.
It's conditional.
It's conditional.
It's not automatic.
It's not automatic.
If you will follow my instructions. Then he says, for change is on the horizon. See, at first that didn't mean a whole lot to me. Change is on the horizon. I've kind of heard that phrase before. But then it dawned on me. Hey, I drove those trucks a long time. You get out into the Mojave Desert where it's flat, the horizon just flat. Far as the eye can see, flat. And you wonder how far it is to Lubbock or wherever it is you're going. And all of a sudden on the horizon, there it is. When he says change is on the horizon, it's close enough for you to see. So let's say this. Abundance.
Abundance.
I see you.
I see
you. You are close.
You are close.
I'm almost there.
I'm almost there.
Hallelujah.
Change is on the horizon. When it's on the horizon, that means you can see it.
You're getting close. Won't be long now.
For there is much that needs to be accomplished. And do you not think that I have provided for it already? Your abundance is in his closet. Sue and I are the grandparents that are more than enough. We answer before our grandchildren call. I already have Lily's next bicycle in mind. The last time she needed one, I had it in the garage a long time before she was big enough to even drive it. Sue already has some shoes that are too big today for Lily to wear, but they're already in the closet. They're already bought. They're waiting for her to need them. He's saying right here, I have already provided everything for this revival. It's already there. It's already been paid for by Jesus. It's already been laid up. He's asking us to learn how to receive it. And a big part of it is speak and fill your mind. Fill your mind. Now don't go off like the world and start filling your mind with Cadillac cars and swimming pools. And he's not against anything, but that's not what this is about. And I know he's speaking this to us and those that are connected with us, because he's been working on us for years, killing those strongholds of flesh. I believe you're not going to run out and buy a different colored Cadillac for every day of the week. See? Someone says, would God give a preacher a freight train? If he needed it. He gave Lester Summerall a ship that he fed the world with, not only with food, but then that food would open the door for him to preach the gospel. There are no limits with our God. Peter says, God, who has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it. It's a matter of us receiving it. And a big part of that is speaking. Say it again. Speaking. My speaking will change God. I promise you. My speaking will change. My thinking will change. I will fill my mind on purpose. With the abundance of your word. I will fill my lips on purpose. Speaking abundance from your word. I'm a big giver to this church. I'm a steward you can trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three times I've thought of this story, and I'm not going to say the girl's name. I just love her to pieces, but she was here 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. And I gave a little assignment one time. I said, look, practice this. Learn. Because Sue and I were learning. We had to learn how to do this. You know, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I said, what about asking the Lord for an extra $100? Not for you. This would be bread for the prayer center. This would be to give either to the prayer center or to the poor. I think is the way I put it at the time. But it's not for you. It's an extra $100 for you to give. I said, how many would take that assignment? And quite a few people raised their hands. And this lady, which I just love, she raised her hand. And hallelujah. Well, later on, she gave her testimony. She says, you know, I asked the Lord for that $100. And I just thanked him that I believe I received when I prayed. Then I went to work and I got busy, and about 3 days later, all of a sudden, extra $100 came. I don't remember how it came. It didn't matter how it came. But an extra $100 came. She says, you know what I did with it? So what'd you do with it? I went and bought a new pair of shoes. I totally had forgotten. I'd forgotten all about that prayer. Ooh, $100 for me. She come and telling me about it, feeling all like a sheep eating dog, you know. And I said, but don't feel bad. I said, just let the Lord bless you with that. Ask him for another $100. Oh, okay. So she's giving her testimony. She wouldn't ask the Lord. Lord, I promise you this time. And you know, I think the Lord smiled on this whole thing like you're smiling on this whole thing. He knows we're not born knowing this. We're growing into this. See, he laughed. He smiled about it like you're smiling about it. She said, I asked the Lord for another $100. And do you know that other $100 came? Within just a few days. This time, I put it in the offering. I put it in. Now, that is exactly how a parent deals with a child. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? That's real. That's reality. Okay. So he says,
There's much that needs to be accomplished. Now, I keep seeing this vision. One time, Dave gave a word to Tim, and that word was this. Tim, simple, Tim plus money equals ministry. And that's true. There is so much that God has already programmed into Tim about media, how to get the message out to the world, how to do all of this. I don't know that if you could give enough millions to Tim for that. I don't know how many millions it would take, I guess what I'm trying to say, to accomplish what's already in his heart to do. It's already in there. He's been praying his part out for years, but the thing that's lacking is the money for the media. That's why the Lord says this. He says, there is much to be accomplished. What if he put it in print? And I've already put it inside Tim. In other words, I've already told him how I want it done. Do you not think I've not provided for it already? From God's point of view, just like your salvation was ready you long before you was ready, you know. Do you not think that I would provide all the finances needed to have my revival? Now here it is. All I need is someone to believe me. Here we go. Last week's message. I want to be believed. I want to say it again. You are the mechanism that has this capacity to believe. And it is believing that converts God's word from his realm to reality in this realm. You are the mechanism that believes. Some of our mechanisms have got broken. The Holy Spirit is here to fix them. Okay. He says this twice. All I need is someone to believe me. All I need is someone to believe my word. Remember earlier we said, take my word? And to believe that which I have said, to come deeper into me in these realms. Now he says, obey me in this. Now here's that if we do this. Obey me. Say it with me. If we obey,
if we obey,
we will see change.
We'll see change.
Hallelujah. Okay. Now that's the way he spoke it very recently. It came through Dave and we're never going to make it. Okay. It's too long because he has other things he wants to say. If you want to look this up, they have all of these prophecies at Dave Roberson Ministry. That's daveroberson.org. They have the compilation. Now, this one is all the way back to the year 2004. Say 2004. Say that wasn't yesterday. But his word is still alive. Now, this word came through Pastor Dave. I was sitting here. I remember it when it came in 2004. The title they have on it, if you want to go read this whole thing, and it's wonderful, is Speak Against the Strongholds of Lack. That's the title put on it. And it's PT040530 with a B. Okay, I guess there's a part A and a B. Speak Against the Strongholds of Lack. One more time. PT040530B. That's May 30th, 2004. I may have to read it all. But I'm not going to comment much. But there's a highlighted portion here. And there's a highlighted portion on the next page that I am going to really emphasize. Okay. I'm just going to read it. We got time, I guess. For those who have ears that hear, the enemy a long time has taken what is in his mind and has tried to establish it as truth. He's making it seem to be a truth. For a transition is being made from things that we'll believe that are not true to things to be believed that are true. But the enemy always stands at the gate and uses all that he has to fight a good fight against you, that you might stay where you are and not enter into what I have for you. For hear what the Spirit would say. The devil has upped his forces
and he senses something is about to take place. He has been monitoring the activity of angels. He has been monitoring what saints are giving into and what is being taught. He is monitoring what is being taught and who is hearing and who is walking in what he has inspired. What he has inspired. Now I'll just flat tell you, that false prosperity in the 80s that I walked in was something the devil inspired, but it came through the mouths of many preachers on TV. Now that's hard, but that is true. That was no more God's truth than my name is Sue. Y'all know Sue and I'm not her. That's not God's truth, but it came through the mouth of preachers on TV, and because it appealed to the flesh, millions of dollars came in to support it. Tough. That's what he's talking about here. The devil was using that platform to establish a false truth, to get the body of Christ to believe stuff, to believe things that weren't true as though God had said it. But this is a time, and I'm close enough to you, that what you've been taught, my greatest desire is to establish a strong foundation that I can build off of. For indeed, I am coming to take this city. Did you hear that? I must have a foundation to retain, to build a building upon, so that what is poured out will not go away. He's trying to starve us out. If the devil had his way, he would wipe the earth of the prayer center and everybody that ever came here. And people to the point they go, "Did you ever hear of Dave Roberson?" "No, who's that?" He wants to wipe it out like it never existed and take all of those 40 years of Dave paving that highway of revelation knowledge. Just take it away, do away with it like it never, ever existed. And he's trying to, one of his main tactics is to starve us out financially. Okay, so God says, I must have a foundation to retain, to build a building upon, so that what is poured out will not go away, but rather will spread like the revival fires from one place to another until the revival fires meet. Well, I like that image. The flames will unite and burn and burn, and indeed the wars, earthquakes in divers places and flooding and wars, taking place, wars and rumors of wars. All these things are happening, and are they not signs of the times of the end? So here, my revival fires will burn in this place and burn in that place. But I am finding enough here. I'm finding enough that I am close enough to this great foundation. Many are obeying me, and steps are being taken to take a step into my presence that will say and be heralded in heaven. But oh, look. Look, he is about to pour himself out. And these things you have been waiting for since the foundations of the world. So know this, you that are believing, believing for blessing and believing to be able to finance and support and to give like you've never given before to these great moves of mine. For even since the days of Noah, did I not say, since the world would stand, that there would be seed time and harvest. So there is a standard that I always use to meet the needs of the world. And that's the harvest of my crops and the life that's in the seeds. And great flooding will take place in these last days. And in the floodings, things that worked before will not work quite as well. Because there will be shortages here and shortages there. He's talking about in the natural realm. Okay? But you look up. Look up and rejoice. Not a hair on your head need be damaged. Look up and rejoice because the time of my return is drawing close. The precious harvest of the planet is coming very close. And I am ready to stick in the sickle and the harvest. But know you not that you prayed. You prayed that this day would take place, and it is taking place. So be strong and know that I'm close enough for you to touch me. Here it is. This is what I highlighted. So you take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. Not just speak against it. That's part of it. That's speaking to the mountain. Take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. Say it with me. I promise you. I will take your word. And I will speak against the strongholds of lack. He continues. He says, you declare an abundance and you will release me. Let's do that. Father, I obey you. In Jesus' name, I declare abundance. Abundance be in the name of Jesus. He says, the membrane between me and you is getting very thin. And I'll be able to come and pour out on your circumstances from within you. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Because that's how close I am. So speak the victory. And pull the strongholds down and rejoice. Take extra time to spend in worshiping me and praising me because I'm close. An outpouring is close. It will be preceded by me pouring out on many of you to prepare the way to get things ready. To take every media. Do you hear that?
Yes.
To take every media. Say it with me. Printed page. MP3s. CDs. DVDs. Internet. Television. Radio. Birds with messages in their beaks. Bottles in the ocean filled with the message. The point is, every media. That's what he said. To take every media. Pull every stronghold down that I may establish my foundation. He's talking about this message. So rejoice and be glad that you that have ears to hear. You're going into the land of plenty. I need you as a testimony of what is over there. So be strong. Bring it back to those who ride the fence and say, come on in. In other words, come on in yourself to this land of plenty. He loves you. Come on in. He loves you. Say it with me. I am going in to the land of plenty. In fact, I declare right now, I live in the land of plenty. I bring back the finances like they brought back the grapes to show the people. This is what He has given us. He loves you. Come on in. Is that good stuff or what? It's good stuff. All right, now, quite a few years later, 2010. If you want to look this one up, I don't remember whether this one came through Dave or not. But it's the Lord anyway. It's PT 10-02-27-D, letter D. That's February 27th, 2010. The title on this one is, There is Almost No Membrane Between Us. Editor's note, the following refers, in other words, when he spoke here in 2010, the editor's note says he's referring back to the prophecy that we just read in 2004. And he says this, according to the instructions I gave you, when did he give them? 2004. When did he give them again? October 23rd, this year. According to the instructions I gave you, as you continue to address the strongholds of lack that used to control you. Let's say that. I declare the strongholds of lack used to control me. But now I am uncontrollable. I'm an uncontrollable finance machine. I live in the land of plenty. I'm uncontrollable, devil. I like that. As you address the strongholds of lack that used to control you, you'll see my victory. There is almost no membrane now between us, and I will be able to bring about what has been promised. Now, why? Here it is. So that you might use my supply to use media to reveal me and to follow the plans I give you to prepare for the outpouring that is before you. Say, Lord, thank you for telling me why.
Lord, thank you for telling me why.
I am to use this great supply.
I am to use this great supply.
In order that media can be purchased.
In order that media can be purchased.
To reveal you.
To reveal you.
And to follow the plans you have given.
And to follow the plans you have given.
For this great outpouring of revival. Then he says, he finishes it up here. He says, there is almost no membrane between us. See, when he says the kingdom of God is at hand, that's another way of saying there's almost no membrane. It's at hand. You may not have it in your hand, but that's up to you. It is available at hand. If something's at hand, I can reach it with my hand. There's almost no membrane between us. And you will be able to say to those who have faltered, come on in. He loves you. Come on in. His word is truth. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Now, with the prayer center's permission, I haven't asked, but I believe it would help everybody. I'm going to have those prophecies available in a PDF. They're all going to be in one PDF right out to the side of this message, okay? At the Dave Roberson Ministries and also at GaryCarpenter.org. I'm pretty sure that's okay. Now, I'm also going to put this one. I know you really can't see it. This is a script. This is a page that I developed many years ago. Some of you, it's familiar. God's Word does not change. And this will also be available in that PDF file. And it's called Scriptures for Financial Increase. Because he said, take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. All right, we've got about 12 minutes here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to look at some very specific teaching here now. And I brought my parallel Bible in a size I can read. Thank you, Lord. Now, this teaching really applies because now he said in here, did you hear him say he wants you yourself to have your needs met? He wants you to have that. But that's really not what we're talking about mainly. I'll be honest with you. You can only eat so much. You can only drive one car at a time. You only need so many changes of clothes. Come on. He's talking about an abundance way beyond us. Okay. And he wants you blessed. Okay. We want that. But that's really what we're in here for. Why he's saying this is to get the finances for the media, all that stuff that he has instructed Tim and the prayer center to do. It's time for those finances to come. And he's been purging us all these years to get us dead enough to money where we're not going to bow before mammon, but we're going to use money to serve our God. Amen. Say it with me. Money serves me.
Money serves me.
As I serve the King. I will never bow down to money.
I will never bow down.
Mammon, I will never serve you.
You serve me
as I serve Jesus. There it is. See, there it is. Now, 2 Corinthians, this is all in his word. And there's one particular verse we've got to get to here now. See, let's pick it up in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And I've got the King James and the Amplified here. It says, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Now notice, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now that is so different from the old covenant. In the old covenant, he didn't care if you gave it grudgingly. You better give it. Remember under the law? It didn't care whether you were having a good day or bad day. Give it. Well, I don't want to. Give it anyway. Grudgingly. That's the law. And a lot of preachers today will put you right back under it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't want to give it, keep it. God don't want it. If it's not in your heart to give it, go pray until it is. You don't have a finance problem. You got a heart problem. Pretty soon I'm going to teach one
I don't know if I've ever talked. It says, honor the Lord with your finances. That's Proverbs. I know it's old. But honor the Lord. I'm going to ask you, if he came and would you be ashamed if the Lord came and looked at your finances? Would he consider, you know, you're going to spend your money on what you love. God, I'm preaching. I'm trying to be nice. Would you be ashamed if he came and, let's go through your checkbook here. No, let's go through your debit card account. Where'd your money go? Are you honoring the Lord? Not law. I'm asking about your heart. You gonna give where you love, man. Grandparents loved her. I have to hold Sue back with a bridle like a horse. That woman, she'd spend every penny on our grandkids. I go, woman. She loves people. But she'll give. But what the point is, your money goes where your heart goes. What would we find out about your heart if we looked at your giving to the prayer center? Now, I'm not trying to put anybody under law. I'm trying. Let's grow up. Boy's been good today, helping me today. Verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now that's good in the King James. Listen to that verse out of the Amplified. God is able to make all grace. This is Amplified. So look up at me. Unless you have an Amplified, don't be looking down. Listen to this. Let these words go across your heart. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. And that verse says it's by his grace, not by your giving. See, the foundation of all New Testament prosperity, back up one chapter, this verse is the foundation of all New Testament prosperity. And it's not your giving. Giving has to do with your heart. Your heart, you will give to what you love. Okay. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. What if I said it like this? You'd understand it perfectly if I read it like this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was righteous, yet for your sake he became sin, that you, through his punishment, could be made the righteousness of God. You'd understand that, right? What if I said it this way? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was health personified, yet he took the stripes upon his back for your sake, that you, through his stripes, could be healed. You understand it? It's the same principle for the finances. Can you believe it like you believe for your salvation? Can you believe it the way you believe for your healing? You don't have to sow to be healed. You don't have to sow to be saved. You don't have to sow to be financially prosperous. No matter what they teach on TV, they're taking those verses out of context. Grace is grace or it's not grace. The sowing comes from your heart. Why did the guy in the man of days keep gathering in abundance? Why work? Why go out and work hard? For others. After 2 or 3 days, he found out this abundance is not for me. I can't keep it anyway. No, but there's so many that don't have the message of Dave Roberson. There's so many that never even heard the name of Christ. There's so many that don't know anything about these gifts. I'm going to go gather in abundance. Not for me. My needs are met. I'm going to gather an abundance for those that don't have anything at all. I'm going to gather it for them. Okay, go to Isaiah 55. Because Paul quotes from this really quick here. I'm going to read up to it. The next verse, verse 9 says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad and hath given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. There Paul is quoting from Psalms 112, verse 9. But in verse 10, Paul says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now he is quoting from Isaiah 55:10 right there. So let's start in 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You see where Paul's quoting it? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hello, thing where he sent it. How does his word return to him? How in the world would his word return to him? He says it does not return to me void. But how does it return to him? When you speak it. When you speak it. When you speak that word and add believing from the heart, you become that mechanism that converts his word to reality in this earth. Your believing is the mechanism. Now look at verse 12. What's the end result? What did he intend by sending us his word? For you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. When it says the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, let's say it this way. The mountains that looked like they were impossible for you to ever get over. Maybe you've been in poverty a long time. Maybe your parents and their parents. Maybe it's been a mountain in your life. He says, if you'll take my word and return it unto me by speaking it, my word will accomplish. And those very mountains that's held you back your whole life, they will break forth before you into singing. And all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, what's the end result of that? Instead of the thorn, how many are tired of the thorns? Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar, y'all remember the briar patch? Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, now, that shall not be cut off. Even that phrase there, I'm thinking about the media. The media is how we spread his name around this whole earth. Y'all getting anything out of that? One more now, one more. Alan, I'm sorry, I'm taking over a little bit here. I'm running over. I'm trying not to take over. Yes, sir. It's on this one. So high tech. Now, I want to read that verse 10. Now, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then the way it's worded in the Amplified. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, let me just tell you right now, the false teachers, they misinterpret a part of that where it says multiply your seed sown. They take that and they get you to focus on your bigger harvest.
like it's for bigger barns. But that's not exactly what it even means in the Greek. Now, let me read it to you out of the Amplified. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, out of the Amplified. And God, who provides seed for the sower, does he? And bread for eating, does he? Will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing. There's a big difference in those two thoughts. See, the way the TV preachers do it, no, he's going to multiply your seed sown, and they're always talking about you and your mighty harvest, like it's all about you. But what God's looking for are stewards that he can give some seed to and see if you go use it righteously for his kingdom. And then he'll say, I'll watch what you do. And if I approve, I'm going to bring more seed for you to give. Because you're interested in a harvest for his kingdom and not your barn. So in the Greek language, it says, God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. That's what it's for. As we together do this, as we obey his instructions, fill our mind, our being, and our mouth with his word, and speak his word, and then speak against the strongholds of lack, I'm telling you, it's going to change. The finances are going to start flowing in, and you're not going to use it on new shoes, not all of it. Your focus is going to be funneling it into the kingdom. Lord, you have found a steward you can trust, and I'm one of them, Lord. I'm one of you can trust me. I'm not going to use it on new shoes, Lord. I got shoes. I'm going to use it to get this media in the hands of the people that you've trained and assigned to do it. And this message is going to cover the earth, and revival is going to take place so Jesus can come and we can get out of here and get on with the new heavens and the new earth. We'll see you at 10 o'clock. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, he was nice during that. You think he wasn't nice? He was real nice during that.